number one hit station.
We bring you the best voices, Sunday and the voices, and
we offer competitive rates to help you grow your business and brand both locally and internationally. Contact us marketing on +260 961 690 486.
Elevate your business. Power and one is the SR Saka. Number one hit station. Number one hit station.
Bringing you the fresh news from Lusaka, Zimbabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News.
The government describes the Bitter Corridor as economic game changer. Governance experts say Speaker's ruling on alleged defected lawmakers has exposed legal gaps. In international news, Madagascar presidential election scheduled for October 2027. And in sports, Francis Macron defends Europe's role in Africa as he seeks reset in Nairobi.
And now, the Power FM News.
With upfront and reliable news every day, my name is Abigail Trassis. The judiciary of Zambia has dismissed as false social media reports suggesting that Chief Justice Dr. Mumba Malila has resigned. Speaking in a statement issued today, Judiciary Deputy Director for Corporate Communications, Kalumba Chisambisha Slavin, said the circulating document alleging that the Chief Justice stepped down over disagreement surrounding the passage of more than 70 bills in Parliament is fake. Ms. Chisambisha Slavin said the signature attributed to the Chief Justice was forged and noted that the format used in the document does not match official judiciary communication standards. He explained that the chambers of the Chief Justice uses its own distinct letterhead, separate from the office of the President and other institutions, and advised the public to verify any such communication through official judiciary channels. The judiciary further warned against the spread of misinformation on social media, saying false information has the potential to undermine public confidence in state institutions and create unnecessary alarm. The institution also cautioned that misuse of social media platforms for disinformation, fraud, and the deliberate spread of falsehoods could attract legal consequences. Minister of Finance and National Planning, Tumeko Mokotwane, has outlined government's ambitious plan for the Lobito Corridor, describing the project as a transformative initiative aimed at driving long-term economic growth and industrial development. Speaking during a parliamentary session, Dr. Mokotwane said the government's infrastructure agenda is anchored on rigorous feasibility studies, which he stated they have helped attract financial support from major international institutions. The minister disclosed that the feasibility assessments have already secured commitments from partners including the African Development Bank, the European Union, the World Bank, and the Italian government. He stressed that the credibility of the studies played a crucial role in convincing cooperating partners to support the project financially. Dr. Mokotwane further assured Parliament that the government remains committed to conducting feasibility studies for all projects requiring borrowing authority.
I can confirm that the feasibility study is there. There is a feasibility study for the railway line. There is also a feasibility study for the road. It is a multi-modular, a road running parallel to the railway line. In both cases, feasibility studies are being undertaken. This is why credible institutions like the African Development Bank, the European Union, the Italians, the World Bank. This is why they are committing financial resources to this project on the basis of the feasibility study. The Lobito Corridor is more than just a railway line or a road. Along this corridor, there are economic activities that are going to be promoted. This railway line is not just about taking minerals from Congo, Zambia, but it is an economic corridor. A game changer for this country.
Livingstone-based governance expert Maria Malilwe has stated that the recent ruling on alleged floor crossing by opposition members of parliament has revealed significant gaps in Zambia's laws governing defection and parliamentary conduct. Speaking on Power and Politics, she noted that the issue has tested the country's legal framework, particularly regarding the definition of what constitutes crossing the floor. She noted that while the law states that a member of parliament loses their seat after defecting, there is still no clear direction on whether verbal declarations alone are enough evidence. Ms. Maliwa questioned whether public statements made by some lawmakers announcing support for another political party should have been considered sufficient proof of defection, despite not being formally written. She warned that the ruling could weaken stability within opposition political parties, saying trust, accountability and integrity are affected when elected leaders change allegiance without consulting the people who voted for them. Ms. Maliwa further said the situation has exposed divisions, selfish interests and leadership struggles within some opposition parties, with several leaders reportedly pursuing personal political ambitions.
The one member of parliament that publicly went on the media and declared to say, I am leaving, just by word of mouth. Perhaps we now need to study to say, was that not evidence enough? Is it because it was not written? That's why it cannot be taken as a deception in its own, because those words were word of mouth. So really, our laws and whatever happens there has been put to test, and it has exposed a lot of lapses. So there's no accountability. There is no integrity. Because here is a leader who is trusted by the community that they represent, and the political party that adopted them, only to go there and change things without consultation. It actually destabilizes the weight of the opposition in the House. Trust me, every government needs an opposition to run for them.
In a statement yesterday, Speaker of the National Assembly, Mary Mutu, wrote that no member of Parliament can lose a seat based on political allegations, dismissing claims that several lawmakers had crossed the floor in breach of Article 72 of the Constitution of Zambia. Delivering a consolidated ruling on 3 points of order raised in April 2026, Ms. Mutu emphasized that Parliament's guiding principle is clear. Without proof of resignation or formal defection, no parliamentary seat can be declared vacant. She stressed that accusations, political statements or speculation do not meet the constitutional threshold required under Article 72. The ruling comes amid allegations that some MPs had defected to the ruling party, while others were said to have joined opposition ranks through Tonse Alliance. The Zambia Revenue Authority, ZRA, says it is in the process of prosecuting seven taxpayers for willfully failing to comply with smart invoice requirements. ZRA says the prosecutions form part of the intensified enforcement measures aimed at increasing the correct and consistent use of smart invoicing system among registered taxpayers. Speaking in a statement, ZRA Corporate Communications Manager Olivan Zala said failure to issue smart invoice compliant receipts or issuing invoices outside the electronic system is considered a serious tax offense under the Value Added Tax VAT Act.
Currently, the Zambia Revenue Authority is in the process of prosecuting seven taxpayers for willful failure to comply with smart invoicing requirements. And this includes usage as well. So the prosecutions are part of ZRA's intensified smart invoice program, you know, targeting at, you know, boosting the usage of the smart invoicing system for all taxpayers. And the general public is also reminded to report businesses that refuse or fail to issue smart invoices. You know, according to the Value Added Tax Act, all these registered taxpayers need to issue invoices, and any violation of that is treated as a serious offense. And taxpayers that fail to issue smart compliant invoices, you know, do face penalties, including fines of up to 120,000, and it can be imprisonment of up to 3 years.
In international news, French President Emmanuel Macron used a two-day economic summit in Nairobi, Kenya, to defend Europe's engagement in Africa, drawing a sharp contrast with China's approach and urging